Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Ogletree Deacons Podcast today. My name is Kevin Bland, and I'm a shareholder out of the Orange County office, and my practice focuses on workplace safety. Here with me today is Karen Tynan from our Sacramento office, the chair of our West Coast OSHA practice group. We're discussing COVID-19 and the California aerosol transmissible disease standard. That's why I refer to it as the ATD standard. It's easier to pronounce, which is Title 8, Section 5199. This podcast is intended to take those businesses that need to comply with this standard into a little bit deeper a learning opportunity about the standard. So, Karen, first off, why don't we start by talking and getting a little bit of an understanding of what an aerosol transmissible disease is.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. And we'll call it ATDs now, okay? So it's defined as a disease for which droplet or airborne precautions are required. Now, in California, we have this very specific standard that other states don't have, right?
Is this the only standard in the U.S. that's specific to ATD?
Right. If you do have entities that fall under this standard, you got to be mindful of the California specific standard. And if you want to know what diseases fall under the standard, there's a list in Appendix A. And interestingly enough, you go to Appendix A under Section 5199, you're not going to see COVID-19, right, Kevin?
I don't think so, since there's no regulations on COVID-19 specifically.
Right. And you don't
well,
even
how do
see,
we get there then?
Well, you don't even see the word coronaviruses, do you?
No.
Right? So the way we get there is that under Appendix A, you're going to see different airborne infections listed, everything from measles to monkeypox.
I had those once. They're bad.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding.
But there's a catch-all. Any other disease for which the public health guidelines make this recommendation. So there's a big catch-all there. And what has happened with COVID-19 is that the public health entities, CDC, and OSHA has interpreted, Cal OSHA has interpreted COVID-19 to fall under this standard.
Now, what about I heard this the other day with the CDC was talking about just being droplets and maybe not aerosol. And
right.
I don't know the science exactly on it because I'm not a scientist. I'm an attorney. But what effect does that have, if any, and what are your thoughts on that? Because the public hears these things and their employers,
right.
And what do we do?
So in Cal OSHA, under Section 5199, there is a difference between diseases and pathogens requiring airborne infection isolation and diseases, pathogens requiring droplet precautions. And because this virus and our information about it continues to evolve, I think this is a good chance for us to remind people that you need to be continually monitoring the guidance that you're getting from OSHA, from the CDC, the Public Health Department on COVID-19 so you can understand, okay, well, if this isn't airborne, if it's droplet, then I need to understand the droplet precautions that are under this regulation.
So even with the droplets in that CDC, there's an argument that the ATD standard would still apply?
Absolutely. Okay. So fair enough. And other people get real caught up in the list. That's for arguing a year down the road in a citation or something like that. But for right now, I think it's a fair assumption to provide for COVID-19 hazard and precautions under the ATD in California.
And I think that's fair. And now, if you're listening to this and you're one of the companies that falls under the covered employers, you probably already have an ATD standard, right?
Absolutely.
To what extent are the employers that are covered under the standard? How do they make that determination?
It's going to depend on whether there's an elevated risk if protective measures are not in place. So the materials, I like to refer people, they can actually download the California Workplace Guide. It was actually recently updated, January 2020. So it's pretty good. The first page is a horrible kind of drawing of bacteria and gross stuff to kind of get your attention. I think it's about 70 pages long, 50 pages long. And in there, it explains that an elevated risk is a risk that's considered to be higher than if the employees working in public contact operations that are not covered under the scope of the standard. So you kind of compare it to bus drivers or retail workers. That's where you kind of use your common sense. And it makes sense that, let's say, a hospital setting, that's probably the easiest one for people to understand. In a hospital setting, there is going to be an elevated risk, right?
Because they are treating the actual diseases, right?
So
that's part of their occupational exposure or risk, right?
Right. And doing procedures and interacting with not just the patients, but their coworkers, right? And so there is that elevated risk. I think it'd be hard to argue that there wasn't an elevated risk in those kind of settings, don't you think?
Yeah. And then and if you take the hospital is an explicit entity under that they would use that as an example. That's why it's explicit, and then there's some others that may fall under it like that, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about like the groundwork related to California's ATD disease standard. We were talking a little bit about this, but how does it apply?
So there's a fairly exhaustive list. Of course, hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, clinics, outpatient medical facilities. But don't forget, it also applies to home health care, hospice places, medical transportation. People forget about medical transport, paramedics and emergency services. And depending on the kind of services that you are providing, the people operating homeless shelters, drug treatment programs, anything like that, you need to take a look at whether the ATD standard is going to apply to you under that risk analysis. Because depending on the kind of services and who you're working with, you can fall under this.
Okay. Security company, possibly or not possibly, or is that a wobbler? Is it explicit or not?
I think it's more, I like how you use the law school term wobbler. That's for all you out there, that could be a misdemeanor or felony. So our security services, you know, that's a lot of vendors that provide those. And if they're going into any of these locations, and they're going to be performing duties that do increase that risk or put them in that elevated risk, you are going to have ATD standard implementation for your workers. And I think that for the kind of temp agencies and staffing agencies that we see in California, Kevin, I think that it's important for them to know whether or not this standard applies. And they're responsible. They don't get to just pass the buck and say, oh, I sent Steve down to the medical clinic to be the door security, right?
Right. Good point. So if they're in one of these places, is there in their security action to be like a stark contrast, your hospital security manning the emergency room, probably pretty clear you're in it. Now, if you are a security guard that's been stationed at a lumber yard to guard the entry of the lumber yard when it's closed.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And I think that comes down to the duties and responsibilities that employers have to recognize the hazards and understand what their role is in protecting employees. And I think that the materials that are available on the Cal/OSHA website about the ATD standard are pretty exhaustive. And I actually think they're pretty helpful. I refer clients to it all the time with questions.
And obviously, this isn't a new standard, right? It's just become in vogue and attention paid to it under COVID. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
This thing's been around for how long?
Oh, years. You and I both know some of the inspectors that worked on it.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that with this and with kind of the news around COVID-19, how PPEs talked about, how much we view people in healthcare as heroes now with an understanding that they're on the front lines, knowing the ATD standard is there in California, actually, I think it's evidence of how much we do look to protect those workers and the responsibilities on the employers for these workers.
Good point. So, Karen, we know kind of we talked about who it applies to. What kind of things is specifically required for these covered employers to do under this ATD standard?
Let's go through kind of a list. And for many of the bigger medical entities, they will have had these plans. They've been well implemented. They're going to have written procedures to control the risk of transmission of COVID-19. Source control procedures, which means if you're wearing a surgical mask, you're the source, right? And so it's controlling you transmitting it based on having a surgical mask on. You also have to have procedures for screening and referring patients with COVID-19. Procedures for communicating about, let's say if you're running a homeless shelter and you have people that have come in with COVID-19, you need to be able to communicate that across shifts and departments. And Cal OSHA does have guidance on that in their standard and their materials. Also, you have to have documented procedures that reduce the risk of transmission. You have to have really taken a look at the work you're doing, the procedures, the processes, the equipment, and find ways to reduce the risk of transmission through whether it's administrative controls, PPE, whichever engineering controls. You also have to have medical services for employees, training on COVID-19, record keeping on all the aspects of your ATD and on the training, and you have to annually review your ATD procedures. So that's kind of the big overview. And I think that the helpful part for people who are unfamiliar with this standard is to understand this is a big scope. This is a pretty big job. And you need to get it right. And you need to make sure that you're complying with the standard and that you're able to evidence your compliance with documents.
And when we're talking about the evidence of that compliance, let's put it in the context of COVID-19, it was stated publicly at the last standards board hearing that there's been 1,500 complaints that Cal OSHA has to respond to in the healthcare industry as of, that was, I think, a week ago Thursday.
So that's in April, yeah. 2020, 1,500 complaints in different districts across California about healthcare settings.
Great. And so in those healthcare settings, arguably, we already have an ATD standard in place, right?
When there is a complaint and you have an inspection, one of the first things any inspector is going to do, whether they show up or they call you on the phone, they're going to ask for a copy. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's probably step number one.
And the training records related to it. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Along the lines of the written procedures, there's a pretty good example in the Cal OSHA materials where it talks about you having to have procedures communicating across shifts and departments. If you have, let's say, a primary care physician who refers a suspected COVID-19 case anywhere else in a facility or across departments, you have to have a procedure for communicating about that COVID-19 diagnosis. You have to have a process for receiving information to make sure that across the different shifts and across all of the departments that can be involved in COVID-19, you've got to make sure that you've got those procedures down. And in fact, Cal OSHA's given interim guidance came out in early April to help for people under the ATD standard about some of the PPE and the shortages. And that guidance is important that you also document compliance with that guidance too.
And a lot of the complaints we've seen and helped clients respond to, for example, oftentimes it is someone was a nurse assisting with a procedure and we weren't given our N95s and required to wear a surgical mask. Do the guidelines, is that something that in their response to that they can point to as how they're trying to comply in this time?
Right. So Cal OSHA recognized, and I think you've called it the rationing of PPE that's happening right now. There's clearly shortages and the supply and the supply chain are being managed on those shortages. And so Cal OSHA says, look, full compliance with the ATD standard would exhaust respirator supplies. And we recognize that in many cases, you can't get your N95 mask. So we're going to tell you some other things you can do. And I certainly encourage all the listeners to take a look on the website for that. There are ways of using different type of respirators or masks that are recommended by Cal/OSHA. They even talk about using expired or foreign N95 masks, which would have never been acceptable before, right?
Right, exactly. Now, this is guidance, though, right?
Right.
So the law hasn't changed. This could, it's not absolute, but could be a great defense mechanism if you are cited during this time period. But what do you think the most important thing, if you're going to point to that, to do for an employer?
You better be able to point to particular facts and evidence that show your good faith efforts to provide all of your employees with the required PPE, that you're also taking a look at all the processes and that you're using every engineering control possible, every administrative control for these procedures where employees are exposed, whether it's to droplet or whatever you're going to say the exposure happened. And so the guidance is certainly not, it's not some catch-all great defense, but I think in the real world, when you say, hey, we were short on PPE, I went on the Cal/OSHA website, I found this guidance about what to do when you can't get in 95 mask. This is what I did. And it just wasn't feasible to get these masks in our supply chain. I'm so sorry, but we did everything else possible.
Very good point. It's like we've said, and if our theme through all our podcast, document, and give rational reasons for what you're doing. Now, this guidance document is dated
April 2nd,
2020.
And it may get updated. You never know.
Yeah. And so that was what I was going to ask you. So you need to continually kind of check and monitor that as we go along, because that's an evolution.
Absolutely. The information's constantly changing. And in fact, as you look at this and try to make your workplace as safe as possible.
Now, what about respirators under this ATD standard? Are they required? Are they not required? How does that work?
Well, there are some requirements for respirators during certain procedures and activities. And that's where you have to look at the standard. You have to look at your work practices. And that's part of the hazard identification that employers are required to do. We've talked about it in our other podcast, so I hope we're not boring the listeners. But identifying the hazards, identifying when your employees are going to be exposed to COVID-19, identifying where the risks are, where the procedures are that place your employees in a location or in a situation where their work is going to make the transmission of COVID-19 a hazard to them. So you take a look at when respirators are needed in the Cal/OSHA California Workplace Guide to Aerosol Transmissible Diseases. It's on page 29, subsection G4. And I think that implement that in your workplace. And I think you've got real good faith that you're doing your best.
With that said, the one thing that I think needs, and this has all been specific for those covered, and so we get this question about, because it's an aerosol transmitted disease and I work in a grocery store, am I under the ATD standard? Because there's a lot of questions like that.
Right. And you go back to the list and you go back to the analysis of the elevated risk. And in a grocery store, you're not putting a ventilator in someone. You're not interacting in that way. Certainly, the application of the ATD standard is to those locations more associated with healthcare, with patient care, with care of elderly, things like that. So what we're seeing under the ATD standard looks a little different than what we see in grocery stores. And that's okay, because that's how the OSHA regulations work in California.
Thanks for listening to Karen and Kevin.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
That's me. Look for our blog articles on ogletree.com. We have recorded webinars related to COVID-19 that are out there and available. We have quite a few other workplace safety podcast topics where we talk about workplace safety and OSHA. We have other new podcasts on COVID-19 and workplace safety that will be out there by the time this one's out there.
And don't forget to check out our COVID-19 Resource Center at ogletree.com. for an abundance of up-to-date employment, labor, and workplace safety information on COVID-19.
So take care, stay safe, and stay healthy.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.